freedom, does it?
No. When you are small, I met him 6 years ago, and then he was looking for a girl, let's say. If I tell him, did you find your girl? He is the father of 2 children. I remember he was a naughty boy. The whole situation has changed. And the memory, being a thing of the past, had better be buried. It had no relevance now at all. It's no relevance. It's a destructive force. He has changed quite a lot. Circumstances have changed. The whole thing has changed. But yet, in my mind, he is still that boy whom I met 6 years ago. It's absurd. So any action that springs from memory, I remember this. You remember this? No. It's not possible. Remember is to rejoin a club. I was a member of the club. I resigned from the club. And I become remember now. I had an arm, I amputated it, threw it away. Then after a few years, pick it up and sew it back again. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And any action springing from that memory is disastrous. It's filthy. It's filthy. So, if I do not let my action spring from there, then I take notice of you now. I am alive, 100% alive in the now, to see you, to observe you, and to see what the appropriate action in the present is. The other vritti is nidra, sleep. Sleep can also mean shutting one's mind away. I don't know, I don't care, I don't know. I don't know, I don't care. Any action that, it's usually no action that springs from there, yes? Or a repressive action springs from there. It is not a no action that springs from there. It is a repressive action that springs from there. There is a challenge, there is life, there is movement, there is motion, something is happening now. You say, oh, I don't care. So, any action or any expression that is based on these 5 vrittis is bound to lead to chaos and sorrow. These 5 vrittis can also be interpreted in another way, vaguely. Oh, I see. My whole life is ruined by these vrittis. I must find out what these vrittis are. Who is it that finds out? It's another vritti. So this vritti says, I must find out what these vrittis are. Ah, I know. That is one vritti. The I know vritti is as disastrous as the I don't know vritti. I know, but how do you know? I read it in Samishwanda's Rajyoga, or you know, some kind of Buddha's teachings. That is not knowledge. That is what you think is right knowledge. That is not right knowledge. That is what you think to be right knowledge. And all dogmas are made of that. And if you are a bit mixed up, slightly mixed up, you think, yes, a vritti is a whirlpool. And there are ghosts floating around. And when one ghost enters through the right ear and is unable to go out through the left ear, like that cotton person, and gets stuck somewhere in the middle, that is vritti. This is totally wrong knowledge. And if you believe in this, once again, you are caught. There is no enlightenment. There is no freedom. There is no freedom from that sorrow. You get reconciled to it. Or you sit in meditation, I'm entering into samadhi now. I am free. This is pure and simple imagination, hallucination. You can live in that hallucination till the next blow comes along. As soon as the next blow arrives, you are awakened, disillusioned. It's very nice. It's also very nice. Imagination. I imagine that I am out of it. I imagine that I have understood the whole Raja Yoga. This is Chitta and this is Vritti. And as long as I don't allow this Vritti to come into the Chitta, everything is alright. Who is thinking all that? That is the Vritti. That is the Vritti. The Vritti is not outside all this. And sometimes, this is considered the subtlest and the most intractable obstacle in Raja Yoga and meditation too. Once in a way, Yoga Vasishtha might call it by sheer accident, others might call it by God's grace, you are granted one little experience. That's it. The experience was before you said that's it, no? It came floating along. It just passed through you. You entered your left ear and went away through the right ear. And as it went away through the right ear, you say, oh, that's it. That is, no, it's not that is it, that was it, it's gone. And you remember. What do you remember? You remember nothing. But you think you remember. It is not a thing which can be caught in memory and stored in memory. But somehow you think you can recall that experience in memory. What the mind can remember is that you did this and you said that's it. Right? You twisted, there was a jolt, electric shock in the body, and you said that's it. And so the next morning or a week later, you sit for your meditation, you do this, I can go on doing, nothing happens. But the memory is there. But the memory of having done this or the memory of having this having happened is still there. And I go on shaking this. I may get Parkinson's disease sooner or later, but not enlightenment. So, if in retrospect you remember having transcended the vritti, that is of no use to you now. And it's silly to go back to that. You cannot go back to that. If there is a thing called time, and if you have divided it into past, present and future, the past is beyond recall. It's not, you can do nothing about it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What is past is past. And it's good that it is past, no? Would you all suddenly become like a 2-month-old baby now? Filthy. It's all that I am as I am now, this is much better than my being, my regressing into a 2-month-old baby now. You cannot do that. Neither to experience what you experienced once upon a time, nor to express what you did once upon a time, change it, express it differently. I acted foolishly. You acted foolishly. What's wrong with that? You acted foolishly. It's better that you don't act now foolishly also. That's the only thing that can be done. So, when a remembered experience makes you feel in the present that you have transcended the vrittis. These are also some of the risky factors in understanding the citta and the vritti. How does one overcome the tyranny of the vritti? How does one overcome the tyranny of the vrittis? How does one avoid the vritti being enthroned as the citta, as consciousness, as intelligence? How does one erase the limitation that the vritti is from arising in the indivisible consciousness? Consciousness being indivisible and the vritti being an apparent limitation which arises within it. How does one avoid this limitation from happening at all? That's the rest of the Yoga Sutras. To begin with, there is a fairly vague statement. Abhyasa vairagya abhyam tan nirodha. Abhyasa and vairagya. Abhyasa is translated into practice. Practice of what? Practice of what? Practice of the clear. Can understanding be practiced? Chitta vritti nirodha. Nirodha, we try to suggest that it is not a suppression as such, but an understanding. because none of these things need to be suppressed. There is certainly a wrong, a false, not so much wrong as false, a false notion that the I am is independent. Can that false notion be suppressed? Can a false notion be suppressed? What do you mean by that? Can a shadow be, cut to pieces and thrown out? Can you sweep the shadow and put it in a garbage bag and securely and dump it in the lake? How does one destroy a shadow? How does one suppress a shadow? The limitation of the totality as an individual, I am, being apparent. It's not real. If it is real, it cannot go. If that wave which you saw yesterday on the lake was real, it can never be wiped out. There are no lakes at all, no ripples at all on the surface of the lake now, because the waves and the ripples were not independent realities. The lake alone is the reality. So, Nirodha does not mean suppression, but understanding. You can understand that in that placid lake, there the waves exist potentially, even now. And when the waves did exist, or do exist, or will exist, the waves are non-different from the lake. When you see the lakes, you see them, when you see the waves, you see them as lake. You do not have to suppress them. And when you see the placid lake, you know it's still there. What is needed, therefore, is understanding. Chitta vritti nirodha means understanding the indivisibility of chittam, the essential indivisibility of chittam, the indivisibility of the lake, the impossibility of the ripple or the wave becoming independent of the lake. That is what is to be understood. That I is the whole, I is the totality. And therefore I is you. There is no division. This divisionlessness has to be understood. The limitation cannot be suppressed. Why? What do we mean by suppressing it? What do we mean by restraining it? It is true. When you understand it clearly, then there is a certain restraint, a certain cessation. A certain cessation of this division. There is a certain abolition of the individuality. But it is not a suppression. It's not like sweeping the shadows and putting them in the garbage can. It is like shining a flashlight on the shadow. Then it's gone. It is suppression from that point of view. It is cleaning up the shadows from one point of view. But in a different way, in a different connotation. Now, if that is understood, how does one practice this understanding? Abhyasa is practice. and abhyasa also means repetition, repeated practice. Patanjali himself defines abhyasa very beautifully. Satu dirghakala nairantarya satkara sevito dridabhumihi. Abhyasa becomes firmly established when it is continued for a long time. Uninterruptedly. When this understanding continues uninterruptedly and for a long time, it is firmly established. Otherwise, the same vasanas which the I am gathered as these movements took place, the memory and the past experience and so on and so forth, they spring up. When Ramana Maharshi was asked, why do we, if sleep is such a nice state, why do we wake up? Why do we wake up at all from sleep? Because there is some desire or something hidden in you. And that stirs and says, enough, let's have a cup of coffee. And wakes you up. If that vasana was not there, if that desire was not there, if that craving was not there hidden in you, you would not wake up. Blissfully pass out, pass on. A very holy man whom I met once in the Himalayas said something very beautiful. He said, abhyasa, once you have understood that this is real, stay there, don't move. Don't let any other thought arise. It's as simple as that. God is omnipresent, yes? Huh? Say it three times, God is omnipresent, God is omnipresent, and close your eyes. God is everywhere. All that I see is God. All that I see is God. Open your eyes and see God. Don't let the thought arise again, this fellow is a Swami, not a God. If that is not possible, try again. If that was not possible, the first attempt, try again. That is the meaning of repetition. Repetition has unfortunately come to mean what is love beautifully expressed in your language? Trial and error. Trial and error. Which means, every time you try, you fall into error. Because that's what you are looking for. You never said trial and succeed. Trial and error. The expression itself demands that there should be error. At least there should be something. Trial and learning.
Trial and error.
Trial and error. So you are looking. Every time you try, you are looking for an error. You are not looking for learning at all. You are not looking for understanding. That's what we do. So there is need for repetition. The need for repetition arises because the understanding is still not there. It is not possible to try to develop this understanding. It is not possible. If you touch the truth once, you are instantly liberated, freed. We were talking of that rubber snake the other day. One who knows that it is a rubber snake is never again frightened. Never again. Some of the snake charmers in India, they have what appear to be deadly cobras in their basket. You run at the very sight of them. But they know, they have removed the fangs. The snake charmers themselves know that they are harmless now. And you find them patting on their head and teasing them and torturing them. They are not afraid at all, for the simple reason that they know that the fangs have been removed. I removed them. You'd be a very stupid person to be frightened after that. They can do nothing. They look like snake, of course. They look like deadly cobras, swinging. But the man knows that the fangs have been removed. In the same way, if once I have understood what chittam is, and that the vrittis are not independent of the chittam. Chittam is the, chitta is the stuff. Intelligence is, and the vritti only appears to be. Once I have seen that, there is no more. No more error, and therefore no more trial. If there is no more error, there is no more trial. And I tried and I have learnt, that's it. But till that happens, abhyasa.